Oh my, it's Most Things Kenobi, where we always have the high ground.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Most Things Kenobi, a podcast about Obi-Wan Kenobi and all things Star Wars. I'm your host, Lauren.
And I'm your host, Leanne.
And I have nothing nice to say today.
I do. Happy Life Day! Yay!
Oh, God. If you haven't seen the title of the episode yet, this is all about the holiday special, the Star Wars holiday special.
And it is special. Carrie Fisher said it best. She used to turn it on during holiday parties to make people go home.
I would have left immediately if she turned it on. I can't believe I sat through this thing. I want my hour and a half of my life back, please. My God.
There's some moments that I was like, oh, okay.
Also, just really quickly before we get into this too much, I just apologize again. My audio is probably going to be pretty lousy. I'm traveling. I'm in a weird vaulted room. My voice is just echoing off everything, and there's other people in the house, so I apologize for weird sounds in this audio.
I want to preface everything by saying we know there are people out there who enjoy this.
Yeah, I don't know how you enjoy it. I really don't, but I appreciate that you do.
I did some research.
I did too.
I went to Reddit.
Oh, really?
Yes. And people enjoy this movie because most of the positive reviews and the positive comments, at least on Reddit, that I saw were they were a kid when it was on TV, like when it played, and they loved it. And now it's kind of like nostalgic for them. They understand how ridiculous and silly and over the top a lot of it is, but they like it because it reminds them of their childhood. So I'm never going to knock that because I have plenty of that, you know.
Yeah.
But we're not watching it while we're kids. We're watching it as adults, you and I. So,
oh, God.
I've only ever seen clips up until we forced ourselves to watch the entire thing.
Yes, same. And I actually did watch the animated short that's in the middle separately. I think it's posted by itself. It was, at least on Disney Plus. So I did watch that years ago without realizing it was part of the holiday special. So that's, I've seen that. I've seen pictures for sure.
Oh, the memes alone.
I don't even know where to start. Like, there's just so much I don't understand.
First of all, spoiler alert for anyone who's not seen it. Okay? There.
Yeah.
Out of the
done.
Way.
Okay. Why is Bea Arthur in it?
Oh, that's the only part I liked. Oh my God. That was the only part I was like, okay, I can sit through an entire 3 minutes of Bea Arthur singing. Because it's Bea fucking Arthur.
It was so long, though. It went on way too long. Oh my God.
A lot of this went on too long. But
yeah,
I want to ask you, did you know Chewie had a wife and child?
Only because I knew the general premise of this holiday special.
I thought that was his little brother this whole time.
Oh, really?
Like my entire life, when I've made fun of that little baby Chewie, I thought it was like kid brother.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So when they said, like, it's Chewie's son, we're going to get you home to your wife and son, I was like, pardon me? That makes him and Han's adventures so much more absurd because he spends all of his time with Han and none of his time with this supposed wife and child.
I know. I just kept thinking, like, he comes home one day a year. What an asshole.
What? Come on, Chewie. Anyway, I was under false pretenses, thinking this whole time that that little weird dude was his kid brother.
Oh man, there's just so much weirdness about it, because that, like, the little boy is played by Patty Maloney, so the boy is played by a girl. Uh-huh. And Mala, the wife, is played by Mickey Morton, who's a man from Chicago.
Right. Sure.
So, and I was like, the minute I saw Mala start walking, I was like, that's got to be a guy. Like, I don't know. Maybe that sounds sexist of me, but like the body language to me was very similar to Chewie's. I was like, did Peter Mayhew play both yes. parts? But no, yes. he didn't.
I have to say, they have a lovely, an absolutely lovely mid-century modern house on Kashyyyk?
I don't think it is Kashyyyk. Is it somewhere else? It's some other planet because...
Is it really?
I think so.
But I thought they all lived in trees on that planet.
But it was before I think George Lucas had come up with that. And George Lucas didn't write this. So I don't think Kashyyyk was even mentioned. It was some other planet that they put a blockade on. And that's why they were all worried that Han and Chewie wouldn't get through. But...
That doesn't make any sense at all. None of this makes any sense. But they do have a lovely, lovely home, you know.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
the furniture was very 1970s.
Except for that weird porno chair that the grandfather said.
We need to fucking... Okay, was that the grandfather or father with the underbite?
Oh, it's Chewie's father. Yeah.
Okay.
Itchy. Okay.
Yeah. What the fuck was that head thing with the woman? What does she say? She says, I wrote it down. It says, I am your experience. So experience me. I'm sorry. What? What?
I know.
She looked fabulous. The actress playing whatever this experience was looked fabulous. In fact, she reminded me very much of Gaia, who was the female singer and star of the show, if you ask me, of the Galactic Star Cruiser experience. She sang during dinner. She was a Twi'lek. In fact, my best friend Derek, his husband Corey, is like besties with Gaia now in real life, which is hilarious. They see each other at the parks. She came running over to him. It was this whole thing. Anyway, this woman reminded me of Gaia in the way of her showmanship with the mm-hmm. dress and the hair and the voice and all that. But the porno feel of it was very seedy.
Right? And he kept like hitting the rewind button over and over and getting all like stimulated. I was horrified. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
It really looked like the thing that people who get like perms or their hair done sit under the hairdressing chair from like the 90s. You know that?
Yeah.
The whole thing was fucking weird.
It was bizarre, and it was creepy that was in there for something that was really geared towards kids, I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
She was absolutely stunning. I think, is it Diane Carroll or Deanne Carroll?
Not sure, but I thought she looked fabulous. She's
gorgeous, and a beautiful voice, truly.
Absolutely beautiful voice, yes.
What the hell?
It was so weird. And the whole thing with, like, Chewie's wife, I guess, what was her name? Marla?
Mala.
Whatever. She watched like the galactic version of Julia Child.
Yes.
What was your thought on that?
I couldn't fast forward through that shit fast enough.
But she did a whole stir, 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 whip, stir, whip, whip, stir. I wrote it down. Stir, stir, stir. Come on now. Stir, 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 whip, stir, whip.
Again, though, it went on for so long.
Way too long.
It goes on so long, it loses the joke. It just becomes, like, painful after a while.
Yeah.
I liked her wig.
Was that a man or a woman?
It was a man.
Okay, that's what I thought. Not that any of it matters, but it left me wondering, like, what am I looking at? Like,
so he was, I think that was the one who was Harvey Korman.
Okay.
That actor played like multiple people because he's from the Carol Burnett show.
Oh, well that kind of ties in because that was from the time.
Yeah, Harvey Korman had been on the Carol Burnett show and he did multiple characters. So he was that one. He was the, I didn't even watch it. I really had to fast forward the part where Lumpy was putting together I don't even know what that was, the switchboard.
Yeah.
I was watching some how-to video, which It was like...
That was really bad.
This whole thing. I know they wanted it to have a variety show feel.
Yeah, but it was bad.
It was just like... Like when someone forces you to watch a YouTube video you don't want to watch. And we had to watch the whole YouTube video on how to put together this thing. It was fucking awful. Like, it was unwatchable.
The point in the, like, odds and ends shop, the guy that's in there, the shop owner.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the Empire walks in. And that whole thing, I was like, where is this even going? Because, like... It went on too long. He's trying to sell stuff. The Empire's being a stick up the ass, as they usually are. I mean, they kept that good. But, like, at one point, the Empire declares martial law.
Yes.
That's over the top even for the fucking Empire.
Yeah, and then B. Arthur sang a song about it, so...
I know!
God
bless B. Arthur.
You know what's really weird about that shop owner? It's Art Carney, and he was in The Honeymooners. Like, the cast is just the most bizarre combination of people ever. B. Arthur, Harvey Korman, Art Carney. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? I felt like I would dropped acid and fell off the planet while watching
maybe
this.
Maybe that was the point, and we missed it because we weren't born yet.
I've honestly seen Grateful Dead concerts that made more sense than this stupid show, but
it was
sorry.
You know what was so awkward for me? So like they go to the main characters. The main characters make cameos in their own fucking story. And like we all know how terrible Mark Hamill looks in this, right?
Oh, yeah.
With the eyeliner, the hair.
He had to, though. He was still in reconstructive surgery at the time.
I know. But him, okay, Luke Skywalker saying, so, what's up? Really weird. It weirded me out. I don't want my hero from the galaxy saying, what's up?
Oh, man.
It was too pedestrian for me. I couldn't take, what's up? Hey, Vader, what's up?
He basically told her to smile more, too. Did you catch that? Like,
I can't. This is awful. The whole thing.
Luke, no.
Painful. R2 was fine. R2 was still doing R2 things, and that's great.
Yeah. Oh, man. Harrison Ford looked like he was in physical pain the entire time.
He did look good, though. I mean, Harrison Ford is at the top of his looks at this point in the game, and he looked really good. Yeah. And actually, I really enjoyed him and Chewie because, like, Han and Chewie are just adorable together, and they hug, and he's like, happy life day, pal.
Yeah, and their hug was pretty adorable.
That was cute. I melted a little bit at that.
Yeah, it was very sincere, and I'm sure it's because they were clinging to their own personal friendship to get through this nightmare that they were, this living
that
nightmare
it.
That they were trapped in.
Leia looked fabulous.
She did. Carrie Fisher looked absolutely stunning in this.
Did you notice her one bun is larger than the other? It was lopsided. It was great.
No, I didn't
Yeah, one was a little bit bigger than the other. I'm sure she said, leave it. Fucking leave it.
Okay, one other thing. What the fuck was Jefferson Starship doing?
I would say all of the, quote, interludes with the dancers, and I fast-forwarded through all of it.
I mean, too.
It's too much.
It was so fucking weird. I guess it was kind of like Cirque du Soleil, maybe?
Barely.
The minute there was a man with tail feathers dancing in high-heeled boots, I was just like, I am too tired to watch this right now. I watched it really late at night, and I was like, I don't have the patience right now. I had to fast forward through basically all of it. I would stop to check in to see where the story was.
The amount of Wookiee screaming at each other is to the point where I'm just like, I don't want to watch this. This isn't helping me. This isn't helping the story. I don't know what they're saying. It's not enough inflection for me to know what they're saying. Like, at one point, doesn't Mala, like, tune in and does she talk to either the shop owner or it's Leia or somebody, and they say hello, and she's like, oh, and it's like, I knew that was a hello. but I could discern nothing else. It was terrible. So much of it.
Yeah. There was no story. There's no fucking story. And I heard, I was watching some research videos on YouTube afterwards, just kind of like orient myself with this and like figure out what the hell was going on. Why did they even bother? And one of the writers, I don't know which one, I think it was Rod Warren. I think he was the main writer. He was saying that now you can't play with Star Wars. You know, now you have to follow all the rules and there's really specific rules and you don't have the freedom to play around like you used to when he wrote the script. I'm like, man, this isn't playing around. Like, this is just straight up bad. Like, bad is bad, whether or not you feel like you're being constricted or not. Like, this is just straight terrible. It has no fucking plot. All the interludes are bizarre beyond description. Like, and not even in a way that you can laugh, you know, because there's plenty of stuff from the 70s that's fucking weird. Like, Labyrinth is another great example.
Right.
It's fucking weird, but you can forgive it because there's something more to it. Plus David Bowie.
Yeah, well, bizarre in and of itself, but we tolerate it because, yes.
Exactly. But this, it was like, I never want to see this again. It wasn't even funny. It was just straight painful, honestly.
I will tell you what I tried to get from it through the Life Day stuff. I kind of like that there's a tree of life. They honor it. They honor family. Like, that's all good. Like, that I can get down with, right? And in fact, did you happen to look up anything about Life Day?
No, I didn't. So, I should have.
In order to get something from this, I looked up information on Life Day. Mm-hmm. And I have some stuff from Wikipedia, in case no one else is aware. This is what it says. I'm going to have to read it because it's a lot. Because the Wills are involved. Who knew?
Really? Yeah. How interesting.
So long after the Galactic Civil War and the Rebellion won over the Empire, a Will was tasked by his fellow Wills with recording galactic history for the Journal of the Wills. Mm-hmm. This one Will grew dissatisfied with how it was being written and stated that they would instead write in a personal journal about how Chewie and his family celebrated Life Day. Okay?
Hmm.
The dissatisfied Will thus compiled some notes on the matter, and when the Will writing the journal began recording the events following the Battle of Yavin, he offered to share the notes on how the rebel heroes helped Chewbacca return to Kashyyyk to see his son Lumpy for Life Day. So it was later dubbed Kashyyyk, even though it wasn't at the time of recording.
Oh, okay.
So, during the First Order Resistance War, Chewie took Rey back to Kashyyyk to celebrate Life Day with his son. Chewie also celebrated the holiday while on the planet of Batuu.
Okay.
So,
that was, is that in like a comic book or something?
I don't know. Just Wikipedia. Just that a Will was tasked with writing stuff on the Galactic War, and he's like, fuck it, I'm going to write about Chewie and his family. And this was like part of what he wrote about. What the fuck? Leia's words really resonated with me. I also wrote them down because it was probably the only good thing in all of this. So after, at the end, when they're with Chewie, they all show up and they all hug. And she says to like the people, the Wookiees, no matter how different we appear, we're all the same in our struggle against the powers of evil and darkness. Great. But you took 3,000 miles to get there and none of it was good.
I know. The best part, like you said, was once they started celebrating, that was more interesting. And
because there was like the orb, they go to the tree together. It's kind of very nice. It's a nice tribal thing that I could see a race doing in the galaxy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, well, I guess I really enjoyed it because everything was so bad before it. That part seemed even better. And I loved, as weird as it was, like listening to Carrie Fisher sing, and the message was really nice. But it was the only thing of substance in the whole hour and 40 minutes or whatever it was. So
yeah, if they cut down all of the nonsense, it probably would have been a 25-minute movie.
Yeah.
And I'd have been all right with it.
Yeah.
And then the fucking First Order. Help me. And then the Empire shows up at the house and, like, raids the house. and they tear apart the Bantha toy. And I was so mad.
Oh, I fast-forwarded through that. I wondered why the Bantha's head was not attached.
They tore apart the fucking Bantha toy. I was so mad. They took the head right off of it.
Oh, that's sad.
It's really sad. I know. And Lumpy, like, put it in his bed and covered it with like the little blanket.
I saw that. And he, like, kissed it, put the blanket on. Yeah. Also, just, like, there's so many elements of, like, the time right in there. One of the cringy moments, one of the many, was when Art Carney's character, who I can't remember, the shopkeeper guy.
Yeah, shopkeeper.
He brings gifts, you know, to everybody. One of them is porn for the grandfather.
Well, you gotta give the old man something.
There's a box of trash for the kid. The porn for the grandpa, and then the mom gets Jefferson Starship in a box.
Yes.
But he won't give it to her until she gives him a kiss. I was like, ew.
Fucking weird. Fucking weird, dude. It's weird. You know what I noticed? Hmm. They have all this high-tech shit. We're in a galaxy far, far away. And one of the Empire people pull out a walkie-talkie.
With the antenna. With the antenna.
Yep. I said, what in Sam? Somebody made a mistake. Please at least make it look like a handheld device, but like, don't pull the antenna out.
It was so long.
It was the longest antenna. Oh, God. It's so bad. And the extreme close-ups of like Lumpy, especially.
Yes.
But like, why?
It's really painful.
I did like how Han, like, Lumpy jumped into his arms and he held him like a baby on his hip. I know. Like, why the fuck is this guy's name Lumpy? There's a whole name, Lumpawaru.
Honestly, it was like Lumpy, Chewy, and Itchy. Like, what other weird body behaviors can we pick?
Cellulite.
Ew. Oh, man.
I just love how he has an underbite. The grandpa or the dad or the uncle, that man in the house.
It was hard to look at, honestly. It was kind of like a dislocated jaw.
I'm surprised they didn't have, like, drool coming out for extra effect. Is that terrible? I feel bad.
Well, I guess we do need to note that George Lucas equally hates this thing.
Well, thanks, George.
Yeah, I guess he and the producer gave approval to, I think it was CBS, to do this. And he asked all the original cast to do it. Like, George Lucas is the one. Mark Hamill said that, at least. I don't know. He said that George asked him specifically, and he said, I don't want to do this. I don't think it's a good idea.
No.
And George was like, would you do it as a favor to me for licensing? Because they want to do merchandising, and so they're trying to keep Star Wars in front of people's, you know, mm-hmm. front of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was, I don't know, a year or two in between when Star Wars was released and when Empire came out. So he wanted to be able to do merchandise sales, because that was the only way George Lucas made money, because the studio owned the rights to the original Star Wars. Oh, God, it was just so bad. But even he hated it. He said somewhere, I think it was at like a celebration, he said if he had the time, he would track down every copy and smash it with a sledgehammer. George, if you want help, give me a call.
I could find a sledgehammer.
It's too late now. It's free on YouTube now, so.
True. Speaking of merchandise, they have a ton of merchandise on Disney right now selling
stuff.
Holiday
special?
Yeah. 2023 must have Life Day merch. And it's all very 1960s, 1970s, mid-century modern. They've got that like pop culture font, you know, that they would use for this time and age. You can get one of the red robes that the Wookiees wore. There are pins for the collectors out there. They've got pop-up books. They've got pop-up ornaments. They have a Life Day cookbook. The official recipe from official holiday recipes from a galaxy far, far away.
I mean, she was making bantha loin or something like that. I don't want to eat
it. Yeah. Yeah. There is also Life Day food available at Galaxy's Edge during the holidays, which involve the blue orbs, which are made of cheese, Life Day cheese branch, like a branch of a tree. There's also drinks available. It's just a lot of...
They're trying to lean in.
A lot of stuff, yeah. They're leaning in on something that nobody wants to lean in on.
You know, just because you throw money behind it, it's not going to make it good, no. Disney.
No. In fact, you can get yourself a light-up orb, which looks like the only thing I would enjoy. But it looks just like the moon display light that you purchased me as a gift one time. It looks exactly the same. It's just not blue.
Honestly, though, I don't think I would want anything in my house to remind me of this movie.
No, that's the thing. So I'm trying to see it from, like, maybe someone who grew up and watched it and it was like, wow, this is really cool. I get to see my favorites on TV, but it's a stretch. Yeah. So if there's anyone out there that actually feels this way, let us know because we want to see what you see. Please help us see what you see.
Yeah. I mean, you're being way kinder than I am. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't mean to like shit on people's things that they
No,
love.
It's a terrible movie. It's terrible. It's terrible and it's terrible. But
yeah, I mean, I can make excuses for a lot of stuff. I mean, I watched Mandalorian and I don't really like it. This to me was excruciating. I texted you, I think, in the middle of it and I was just like, what the fuck, it's worse than I thought. Like, I knew it was going to be cheesy, but it was actually much worse than I thought it was going to be.
The thing is, I can do cheesy. I do cheesy all the time, and I can get into it. I can get into campy. I can get into, like, over the top. As long as you know to not expect anything less or more, you're good. But, like, I expected more. I got way less. No, I expected less and I got way less than less. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. I think all the actors are pretty embarrassed by it. I've seen compilation videos of them on talk shows and they're all just like, oh God, I can't talk about it. I don't think we're allowed to talk about it. I think we're supposed to deny that it exists anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think George Lucas gave the okay, but then had no more... He was busy filming Empire Strikes Back, so he had no more involvement. And so when it went out, he must not have approved it. I don't know why you wouldn't ask to see it before it goes out, but it was far worse than he thought, too. And I think he was pretty upset by the whole thing. But I'm sure it worked to sell some merchandise for him. Honestly, I'm amazed that it didn't tarnish Star Wars in general, that people still went and saw Empire Strikes Back and loved it instead of being
wild. I would like to know the societal thought process at the time. Why didn't it knock it down?
If you saw it when it came out, send us messages. Tell us what your experience is like. Because like we said at the beginning, we're new to this. Obviously, we're coming at it with a shit ton of material for Star Wars that exists now. When it came out, only Star Wars. That's it. And this even kind of launched the extended universe. There were Ewok movies. There were lots of novelizations. That was something that I did come across that was interesting, that it was kind of the launching of the extended universe, which is now Legends. But there was a variety of quality at the time. So it was like something like Timothy Zahn's books, bestsellers, considered very, like they were excellent quality. And then there would be like comics and other books or movies that were just atrocious. And Disney, when they took over, they made everything Legends, because they wanted to quality control what came after that. Yeah. And I know that angered a lot of people, but at least now there's a little more consistency, I guess I would say, in the quality of stuff that comes out. Maybe. I don't even know.
It's rough. It's rough out there, though. But listen, we're free to like what we like and not like what we not like. At least in this corner.
Yes. Yeah. If you like this movie, good for you. I'm glad. Yeah. It's everyone's allowed to have what they want.
And honestly, okay, so if you had to pick a favorite moment, please try hard.
I really liked seeing Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
He did his damn best.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
I was watching his face. Yeah, I was watching his face really closely to see what he really felt. And he did a very good job, knowing that he really didn't want to do it. He rose to the occasion, especially considering he had just had reconstructive facial surgery.
This is true.
And I did like the end with the tree and Leia singing.
I think that's my favorite part. Because it was it had the most substance, you said it. And yeah. I need something. And that was it.
That was the little crumb.
That was it. It was at the end. It was a rough go. But you know what? Happy Life Day, Lauren.
Thank you, Leanne. Happy Life Day to you, too. Okay, our question for our listeners. What were your first thoughts when you saw the Star Wars Holiday Special? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Did you see it when it first came out? What was that experience like? Or was it later? Did you experience it like we did much further down the line? Tell us all about your Life Day experience.
Yes. Oh my God, next week's episode. I'm excited. I probably shouldn't be, but we're going to talk about the red flag moments throughout Anakin's pre-Vader existence. So we're going to pick out a few red flag moments apiece. Lauren's going to pick out three. I'm going to pick out three. The moments that make you go, your Vader is showing, Anakin. red flag moments. So this will be fun. So join us.
This seems like a Leanne special.
Oh, God. Well, from Life Day special to Leanne special. Yay. Join us back here. We're going to talk about why Anakin is crazy.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Most Things Kenobi podcast. We appreciate every single one of our patrons and are grateful for your support. If you'd like to support the podcast and become a patron as well, head over to the Most Things Kenobi Patreon. As always, you can follow us on Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. If you enjoy our podcast, feel free to rate us on Spotify and Apple. And if you need just one place to find all of these, head over to mostthingskenobi.com.
So until next time, my space twin, may the Force be with you.
Always.